Its producer, host, and sponsors.
We are here with a group of firefighters, police officers, EMTs, paramedics, nurses, and their families to talk about firstresponders.com, the website devoted to the financial life of first responders. Excuse me, what's your name? Okay, Jim, tell me, what do you like best about firstresponders.com? Is it the credit card that tells everybody you're a first responder, or their competitive mortgage rates? Oh, it's the Responder Rewards Program. Exclusive discounts you and your family get from hundreds of retail outlets, from home improvement to electronics to clothing. Up to 40% off. Great. Is this your little doggy? Hey, buddy. Everybody seems to love the benefits of firstresponders.com. Right, everybody?
You speak your own language, we speak it too. That's because firstresponders.com was created by first responders. With benefits like great mortgage products, discounts at retailers, and the first responders credit card. It's not just a credit card, it's a badge. Firstresponders.com.
One out of seven means they can all fall down, except for Sarah. Why? Because Sarah is uninsured. In fact, one out of seven Americans are uninsured. This isn't just a number or a graph in a report. It's people. Families with simple needs like wanting to provide for a child. And children who want nothing more than to be children. One out of seven of us is uninsured, but all of us have access to a voting booth. Make sure you vote with this issue in mind. Learn more and share your voice at voiceforTheUninsured.org. That's voiceforTheUninsured.org, because one out of seven is 45 million too many.
Thanks for tuning in. We are live in the studios, and you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland and streaming live online. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Today we'll be talking with Dr. Nancy Nielsen, president-elect of the American Medical Association, a delegate from New York, served two terms on the AMA Council of Scientific Affairs, and is a chief medical officer at Independent Health Association, a major health insurer in New York. And today we'll talk with Dr. Nielsen about the healthcare crisis in our nation, the uninsured. Today's Health in 30 is a call to Americans to become involved in the AMA's efforts to have health coverage for all. You will learn what you can do to make a difference, to give hope and coverage to the 45 million Americans without any health insurance. Call in today with any questions to 845-624-1300. And joining us now is AMA's president-elect, Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Hi, Dr. Nielsen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
No, it's very faint. Something happened about 10 seconds ago, but Barbara, it's so good to talk with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're joining us today. Thank you. Are you able to hear me now, Dr. Nielsen?
It's very faint.
Okay, Jackie, the engineer, she's working on that, so hopefully pick up in a little bit. First, before we begin, I would just like the listeners to know that they can go to voiceforTheUninsured.org and they can print out a copy of the AMA's proposal. 30 minutes may not be enough to cover in detail the whole proposal, but thank you so very much for being here to go over the proposal with everyone, for all the listeners out there. So first, Dr. Nielsen, 45 million Americans are uninsured, one out of seven Americans, and shockingly, 80% are working families and 20% are children. Under the current healthcare system now, what is the reason that there are so many uninsured Americans?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very faintly. Jackie, she's working on it. I don't know what the difference
is. Okay, now I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great, okay. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great.
Did you hear the question?
I did.
Great.
Thanks so much, Barbara, for being patient with the technology problems here. It's actually even worse than when we launched our campaign 2 weeks ago, because the Census Bureau just came out with new numbers. It's 47 million Americans have no health insurance, and that's 9 million kids. So your question was, what's the reason for that? A few reasons. One is health insurance is expensive, and in our country, unlike any other of the major countries in the world, our health insurance is tied to where we work, so it's employment-based, and that's a real problem. Fewer and fewer employers are actually offering health insurance. It's down to about 60% that offer health insurance, and of the ones that do, most of those only give one option, so that's not too much choice. So it's cost and it's the employment-based system that are the major drivers.
Okay, so the AMA is now taking steps to try to change this, to get coverage for all Americans. Briefly, could you go into a little bit of detail about the different steps that the AMA is taking?
Sure. This is not a new plan for us. We have been working for a decade on developing this plan, refining it, getting economists to help us make sure what the costing out would be. And actually what we think now is with this wide open presidential campaign and the increasing number of uninsured individuals, the time is right for us to have people start listening. So here are the major points of the campaign, and I'm really glad that you told everybody how they could go learn more, because the details, people have questions later, and make sure that they go to the website voiceforTheUninsured.org. There are three major planks in this plan. The first is that every American needs to have the ability to purchase health insurance. Now, if you have employment and you can afford it, that's great. If you are unemployed or disabled, then there would be given to you either a voucher so that you could use it only for health insurance. And I know voucher is a charged word in some circles, but the point is it would not be a handover of cash that you could go out and buy a TV with. This would be something where you would use this to purchase health insurance. And how would it be financed? It would be financed by changing our current tax exclusion system of health insurance, where if you have health insurance through your employer, you're not taxed on it, to a tax credit, where you would be given tax credit on your income tax for any outlay that you made for health insurance. So the first is people would have the means, the financial means, to purchase health insurance. The second is they would have a choice of plans rather than the one plan that, if they're lucky, that their employer even offers. They would have a choice. And what that would do is lead to the third of the important pillars of the plan, which is market reform of the insurance industry. Because what happens is when you have that kind of competition among insurers is that premiums will come down. Insurers will compete to not only offer a good price, but to offer a good plan that would meet the needs of an individual and their family. So a person who, for example, is making the choice, either the husband or the wife or the person who is the head of the family, would be making the choice for the family, and they could choose a plan that would best meet the needs of that family. So those are the three planks: the means to buy it, choice of plans, and competition among insurers, which results in market reform.
In regards to the purchasing of the insurance individually, do you think that would be a very overwhelming process for the people to choose their own insurance, or how would they go about deciding which is best for them?
Well, there would have to be a whole lot more transparency than there is now.
Okay.
And we do that. We purchase cars, we purchase TVs, mm-hmm. we purchase cameras. We read consumer reports. We talk to our neighbors. There's all kinds of ways that we evaluate the data that's available. And so that's what would happen. There was an interesting article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal about what Holland has done, which is, frankly, as I read it, looked so similar to what the AMA was trying to do. And there has been competition among insurers.
So it will really be people doing a lot of homework to choose what's best for them, because obviously each plan would be different, so they really would have to research it out and choose which is best for them and their families.
Right, and interestingly, to the point of the question you just asked about how hard it would be, mm-hmm. It was interesting in the article yesterday, the analysis of what happened in Holland is that the health ministry predicted that only 5% of their citizens would bother to switch insurers. They were allowed to switch once a year. And there was a website where consumers could go to analyze the insurer's offerings. So they anticipated about 5% of the people would bother.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, 20% did, either because of a better price or because they had some dissatisfaction with their insurer. So it's a small country. Things are different there, obviously, than in the U.S. But the point is, it's an interesting experiment. There are other interesting experiments in the states, Massachusetts, for example, California, and we're watching those state learning laboratories very closely.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that may work out nicely for people, though, because they can choose their own insurance plan. They're not just locked into something that their employer may offer.
Exactly, and that's a key point. You know, the reason we have employer-based health insurance at all is an accident of history. After World War II, because there was wage control, employers were not allowed to increase wages, and so what they did to keep good employees is they began to provide benefits, and health insurance at that time was cheap. So that's how we got into this. That what we propose is that health insurance be portable with the individual. So you may get part of the payment for your health insurance through your employer as you do now, but it would not be something that would cease when you switched employment or became, as has happened to my kids occasionally, between engagements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now talk about the tax credit and vouchers in a little more detail. I know that's specifically spelled out in the proposal, and the language can get a little bit tricky, which is actually, it's nice though, you do have a glossary in the back there for people that need assistance with the different tax language out there. But can you talk in a little bit more detail about that, about the tax and the vouchers?
Yes. The let's keep it at a high level, because I think the principles are really important.
Okay.
What we have right now is a system where the government basically allows an exclusion from one's wages of health insurance premiums. So this is a tax exclusion system that we have now. What we're proposing is that tax exclusion system be replaced with a tax credit system. Now, how would that happen? There would be taxes paid. Those who made a significant salary would, in fact, pay tax on that. Those who do not would have an exclusion, so that they would get a credit for what they're paying for their health insurance. What this would do is it would bring more money into the system that's now being lost because of the tax exclusion system that we have. And if that money were applied to insuring the uninsured, we would be a lot closer to being able to afford coverage for all Americans.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Go.
Because it is complex.
Right. I actually received an email from someone, Mark in New York City, and he has a question. So would you mind if I read that to you?
Oh, please.
And it's in regards to actually the high income brackets. And it says, does the plan account for the different cost of living within areas of the country? For example, a family of four making $100,000 per year living in New York, one of the highest cost of living and the highest state tax rate, is not the same financial position as a family of four living in Florida with a lower cost of living, and the tax is different at a lower cost there. So is there any plan, I guess, affecting the different states?
That has not been something that we have worked out.
Okay.
Because, and probably at this point, it would require a great deal of effort. What would have to happen in order to switch to this is national action by Congress in order for these experiments to occur.
Okay.
Whether there would be geographic disparities taken into account, as they are, for example, in reimbursement to hospitals right now, as I'm sure you know, whether that would be something that would be pursued at the national level, we have not gotten that far. what we're proposing is a shift, and it's a major shift. In order for people to consider making a major shift, it has to be something that is going to be good for the country. So all of those kinds of really important questions need to be looked at, studied, because it really does need to be fair to Americans.
So where it stands now, for people listening, if they want to be involved somehow to make this shift happen, what can they do? I know the website is great, voiceforTheUninsured.org, where they can go and get more information. But what else in terms of maybe helping with the proposal itself?
Well, there's several things.
Okay.
The first thing is that I think in this presidential year, it's really important that we demand of the presidential candidates, whoever they end up being when the dust begins to settle, we demand of them what their plan is to cover the uninsured, because this is really a societal problem. So the AMA has and will continue to deliver our plan to the major candidates. And if they don't like our plan, what's their plan? And let's have a debate. Let's really discuss it. Let's try within the next 2 to 3 years, by 2009 is our plan, to make sure that we have stopped talking about it and gotten to some solutions that are going to cover these people who have no health insurance. Because the truth is, they're our neighbors. They may be our family members. These are not people who live in the shadows, the always unemployed. It's really not like that anymore. So what we're asking people to do is go to the website, see what we're proposing, and then make sure that this issue is front and center as they listen to presidential candidates.
Great. With that thought, hold it for a moment.
We'll
take a quick break in 60. We'll be back. 60 seconds.
1 out of 7 is not just a statistic. It's a woman who avoids prenatal care and is forced to deliver in the ER. It's a grandfather who chooses his blood pressure meds over his Parkinson's meds because he can't afford both. It's a friend who fears going bankrupt if she ever gets sick. 1 out of 7 Americans is uninsured. To the American Medical Association, this is not just a statistic. It's a tragedy. But while 1 out of 7 of us aren't covered, all of us have access to a voting booth. Make sure you vote with this issue in mind. Learn more and share your voice at voiceforTheUninsured.org. That's voiceforTheUninsured.org, because 1 out of 7 is 45 million too many.
And we're back. For those of you who are just tuning in or logging on, this is Health in 30, and I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Today we're talking with Dr. Nancy Nielsen, president-elect of the American Medical Association, about the health crisis in America, the uninsured. Call in with any questions, 845-624-1300. Dr. Nielsen, before we went to break, you were mentioning about the candidates, how important it is that everyone's voice is heard loud and clear to these candidates to let them know, really, that the numbers are unacceptable. 45 million people in America today should not be uninsured. Everyone should have health insurance. So thank you for that, and I think everyone out there listening, they need to know that they can make a difference, and they can get out there and start talking in any form that they can to let people know that insurance is needed by everyone, and there's steps that they can take, and through the AMA and voiceforTheUninsured.org, they can help make a difference.
Right, and one other thing that they could do, Barbara, on the website, we are encouraging people who perhaps themselves or have been uninsured or know someone who has been uninsured to tell us their story. To also, if they read our proposal and they agree with the approach, to sign the petition. The point is, we are going to have a debate in this country to get to a solution that works for Americans. We're not going to adopt the system in Canada or Britain or Holland or anywhere else, because our situation is different. We are based at the moment in employer-based health insurance, and we can't take away things that people have. That Americans won't stand for that. So it's time, though, to move on from talking about it and wringing our hands to getting to action. So we'd like them to tell us their stories as well.
That must be very hard for people sharing their stories, though, when they were in need of medical care and they couldn't obtain it because of no insurance. There must be some very heartwarming stories. There are,
and some of them are hard to tell. I have my own story that I told at the press conference when we rolled this out. When I was in graduate school in Washington, before I went to medical school, I had insurance through the college, which excluded pregnancy and excluded family coverage. So my kids had no coverage at all, and I had to take my 14-month-old daughter to the hospital, and for the rest of that month, I didn't have money to feed the kids. It's the only time in my life I ever had to try to call my family and get help. So it's a painful story, but it's one that I tell you I will never forget, and so it's up close and personal with me.
That's unbelievable that that you had no insurance through pregnancies.
I had two babies through a public health clinic, and I was grateful for that.
Wow. That's great that you can share that, though, so people can actually see, though, too, that they can identify that this is happening to a lot of people, and it's not just people who don't have jobs. It's people who are educated professionals with jobs.
That's exactly right. With my first child, I was a government employee, and that was nice. I had good insurance then, and then afterwards, I have five children with my last two children. Of course, I had health insurance through my employer, but I remember those 3 years very, very vividly.
Yeah. It has to change. It just can't be. I mean, health care in this country is just so vital, and people are so important. We just can't let it go by and have people coming into the ER, to a doctor's or anywhere without insurance. Everyone needs to be covered for that.
That's right, because we know many studies have shown that people who lack health insurance delay going for medical care until late in an illness. And many times things that might be treated easily or even prevented with, for example, an immunization are foregone because of the cost if you have no health insurance. That is a choice that we really can't tolerate in this country anymore. It is unconscionable.
Right. Now, for the listeners out there, there's voiceforTheUninsured.org. There's also another website, too, covertheuninsured.org, and that has a lot of information as well for people they can go to get more information about this topic. For what would you tell listeners, really, the message? I mean, it's so wonderful that the AMA is really coming together, working on this proposal, trying to make a difference, and hopefully everyone will jump on board with it and give their suggestions and ideas as well. I would imagine that you would accept listeners and the public's input as well.
Indeed. And we know that there are people out there who think that going to a single-payer system, such as in Britain or Canada, is the answer. We don't think that's the answer. But on the other hand, it is time for us to really have this serious debate, which ends up in more than a winner of a debate, ends up in some action that results in taking care of this problem. So we welcome that debate. I did a debate on a radio show a couple of weeks ago with a single payer proponent. It was a thoughtful, civilized debate. He made good points. I think I made good points. Mm-hmm. We need all to be involved in this, but simply ignoring the problem is not the answer.
Exactly. Dr. Nielsen, thank you so very much for joining us today. Thank you for enlightening the listeners and letting them know what they can do about this crisis in America. And hopefully they'll check out the website, voiceforTheUninsured.org, and covertheuninsured.org. Has great information. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, be in charge of your health. Speak up and ask questions. Stay safe. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. See you next week. For more info, go to healthin30.com. And coming up on the next Health in 30, another major healthcare crisis, school nurses in America. We'll be talking about the horrific state of affairs in California, for over 2,000 children, there is only one school nurse, a statewide epidemic. Joining Health in 30 next week are Dale Parent, president of the California School Nurses Association, Donna Mazik, president of the National Association of School Nurses, Amy Garcia, executive director of the National Association of School Nurses, and Nancy Spaulding, executive director of the California Nurses Organization. Thanks to Dennis Smith for firstresponders.com, Dr. Nancy Nielsen, thank you so very much again for joining us. Thanks for the information. please check out the website again. It has a lot of information, voiceforTheUninsured.org. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. See you next week. Stay safe. And a couple words, messages for the listeners out there from the AMA and firstresponders.com. Thanks again. Have a great week.
Diabetes and no health insurance can be a lethal combination. So can heart disease and no health insurance. Even strep throat without proper care could turn serious, even life-threatening. That's why at the American Medical Association, we're fighting back with a combination of our own. Today, physicians are caring for many uninsured patients, and they're speaking out with them to make sure all Americans have coverage. One out of seven of us is uninsured, but all of us have access to a voting booth. Make sure you vote with this issue in mind. Learn more and share your voice at voicefortheuninsured.org.
Oh, may I be one who sees what's in front of me, what's in front of me.
That's voicefortheuninsured.org, because one out of seven is 45 million too many.
We are here with a group of firefighters, police officers, EMTs, paramedics, nurses, and their families to talk about firstresponders.com, the website devoted to the financial life of first responders. Excuse me, what's your name? Okay, Jim, tell me, what do you like best about firstresponders.com? Is it the credit card that tells everybody you're a first responder, or their competitive mortgage rates? Oh, it's the Responder Rewards Program. Exclusive discounts you and your family get from hundreds of retail outlets, from home improvement to electronics to clothing. Up to 40% off. Great. Is this your little doggy? Hey, buddy. Everybody seems to love the benefits of firstresponders.com. Right, everybody?
You speak your own language, we speak it too. That's because firstresponders.com was created by first responders.
AM 1300, like WRCR, Spring Valley.